This is Elevations, bringing new perspectives to science, technology, education, and the arts. I'm your host, Amy Reynolds. Our guest today is Robert Ekman, Chief Information Security Officer and Adjunct Professor at Kent State University. Welcome, Robert.
Well, thank you.
So why don't we start with how you got into cybersecurity? What drew you to this field? How did you get started?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was just talking earlier. I took some pre-law classes in my undergrad, which was political science. I wanted to go into law school. It was really a big attraction for me. When I graduated, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to stay in technology. I've been working in technology. It was going well for me. And my career just kind of progressed through project management and leadership. And I joined First Energy probably about a decade ago in their nuclear division. And when I did, I joined them as a digital program manager. And we quickly got regulations for cyber. And my role quickly became cyber program manager. So it was kind of being immersed in the deep end there of implementing a program that really met 10 CFR 7354, which was the law issued by the Congress for all nuclear power and critical infrastructure to meet at that time.
And you're teaching in the School of Digital Sciences. Can you talk a little bit about what a student will learn in a cybersecurity class? Because I would imagine there's so much you can do with this.
There is. So my particular course, I try to focus on cybersecurity. I call it a mile wide and an inch deep. So I try to get them introduced to all the major domains of cybersecurity and then really help them understand some of the major areas of focus we have, such as separation of duty, you know, ensuring that we have defense in depth, defense in diversity in our designs, helping them to understand that security, you know, we often think of specifically cybersecurity as, you know, hoodies and Red Bulls and chasing bad guys. It's not always that fun. Quite frankly, most of it's policy and procedure and, you know, just trying to ensure you have all the programmatic elements you need. So my class really focuses on that. I actually have them build a cybersecurity plan for a HIPAA-compliant organization, and I'm using air quotes. It's not a full plan, but it certainly addresses the majority of the threat vectors that they would address as part of a plan for an organization like that.
Outside of your teaching role and your day-to-day role, are there more common occurrences you're now seeing that?
Absolutely. One of the biggest issues most universities have is credential compromise. It's something that we all struggle with as CISOs across the higher ed space. You know, we have a lot of legacy passwords out there. We have multiple password use, which people should never do. Only use one password here at the university. But unfortunately, we have that happen quite a bit, as most organizations do. Another area of big focus for us is phishing campaigns. You know, just the darn emails coming in that people click on without thinking. We would just ask, you know, think before you click. Take a second to mouse over that email address or read through it carefully or look at that attachment and see if there's ways to vet that. But I would say those are kind of the two big areas of focus. And then we always have challenges with other organizations trying to hack into our environments. And our security team does such an amazing job of watching and stopping that every day.
And when you talk about the credential compromise and not using the same password, I know that you hear a lot about that being one way that people will get into your secure information. Do you have advice for people aside from, is it really just as simple as don't use the same password, or are there other strategies?
Oh, there are many other strategies, sure. And you know, some organizations say change your password periodically, which, you know, can't hurt necessarily as long as you remember it. That's the big challenge with that. I would also recommend that people think of, instead of using an 8-character password or, you know, and we also recommend complex passwords, uppercase, lowercase, numbers, characters, that kind of thing. I also recommend, if you're able to, use a passphrase. So don't just use a series of letters and numbers, but use a phrase that's common to you that you know, but perhaps no one else would. I think NIST has already issued a guide saying essentially that a passphrase is almost impossible to crack, whereas an 8 or 12-character password technically is capable of cracking.
And I would imagine that many people default to the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like a birthday or something like that.
Yeah, don't use something that is so common to you that someone else would know it. Use something so unique to you that just you know it, but that you'll remember it. Definitely stay away from pets' names, kids' names, addresses. Believe it or not, adversaries will look through your social media, what they have access to. And I tell people to secure their social media as well. Put it on multi-factor authentication. Make sure you're notified when you're logged in through email or something to that effect. And set your privacy settings so only your friends can see your social media.
So what are large companies doing to help people in these areas, like Microsoft, Google, maybe even the social media companies? How are they assisting?
You know, it's interesting to me because, you know, 5-6 years ago, I would go to conferences for security and there would be a smattering of security vendors, you know, one or two or three or four. I went to the HIMSS conference, not this past year, but the year before.
HIMSS is Health Information?
It is Health Information Management. Mm-hmm. That's right. Down in Florida, huge conference, 60,000 some people, and a literally football field full of security vendors. So what we're seeing now is best of breed. You know, everybody wants to sell you the next security tool that you're going to use. I actually would say what our strategy has been to look at more of what we get from the big vendors. You know, Microsoft, Google are providing some tools that we can now use in the cloud as well as on-prem that allow us to protect our environments. You know, better antiviral solutions that are cloud-based, behavior-based. You know, if there's a breach in the UK, for instance, like we saw with WannaCry, with the National Health Service there, it could easily update machines here in the United States immediately for that breach. So we're seeing that more ubiquitous approach, and we're seeing Microsoft really, you know, as part of their enterprise licensing, come out with a number of security tools, almost taking the place of many of those best of breeds.
I would imagine all environments have cybersecurity teams or someone tasked for that. What can I expect when I work with those colleagues?
Yeah, so here at Kent State, we have a really incredible team, great knowledge. We're small but mighty, is the way I like to put it. And we do a lot with the tools that we have. We are definitely embracing that Microsoft, you know, security stack more. I think you're going to see more in the space of enhanced authentication measures. So we may be doing more than just a username and password at some point so you can get access. And we know that it's you that's getting that access. We may be doing more with monitoring of our environments so that we can watch better what's happening. If malware exists somewhere, we're able to identify it quicker and track it. And then most importantly for us as an organization is maintaining those privacy standards for data. We're seeing a huge push right now with general data protection rights and the California consumer privacy law that's really driving us to a state of understanding not just what our sensitive data is, but where does it reside, who has access to it, and so forth. So I think you're going to see a lot more in those spaces relative to policy and technology as well.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us today.
I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
We've been talking with Robert Eckman, Chief Information Security Officer at Kent State University. Elevations is produced by Joe Gunderman, John Nungesser, and Ellie Ellis. I'm your host, Amy Reynolds, Dean of Kent State's College of Communication and Information. Join us every Saturday morning at 7 on 89.7 WKSU.